Which? That do it? All right. Amen. Psalm chapter 40, if you would please, go back to the book of Psalms, chapter number 40. It's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight and see some folks that I haven't seen in a long time. Some of them since childhood, that's the truth. And glad to see y'all here tonight. Appreciate you being with us in the meeting. And of course, having Brother Joe in the building, that's always a wonderful thing. And then it just adds a whole nother layer of pressure, because back there is Dr. Joe Bryant, you see. And there's nothing you can say that he hadn't already said, I feel certain. But anyway, I love Brother Bryant. He's my friend.
Amen.
And I would be remiss if I didn't at least just mention that my dear mother-in-law was here in church tonight. And she must love me. She come to hear me preach. What about that? And so I appreciate her for being here. Amen. Well, I was thinking while they were singing it as well. I remember the first time I ever heard that. We were over in the old building. Now look, I've been in church all my life. I had never heard that song. I mean, you know, I thought I'd heard about every song there was to hear, you know, from a hymnal or something. They got to say, I wasn't saved at the time. Now, don't misunderstand. I wasn't saved at the time, and I thought there to myself, this has to be the single worst hymn I've ever heard in my life. What in the world is all this slow dragging? What are we doing? And that's just kind of what I thought. And I remember before I got saved, yeah, he sung it two or three times. And I mean, people would be about ready to tear the building apart singing this song. And I kept thinking, what in the world? This is the worst hymn I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, just kind of let it go. Didn't say nothing to nobody about it, because, I mean, you know, it's not the kind of thing you just talk about, right? And then I got saved. I hadn't thought no more about this song. And I'm sitting, of course, we had the two rows of pews. I was sitting over here. And they got to singing that. And I thought, oh, the light came on. I thought, oh my goodness. This is the best song ever. Because it wasn't well with my soul before. But then when I got saved by the grace of God, changed everything from the inside out. And now we're singing about, and I can totally identify with it. It was well with my soul for the first time I ever realized it. What about that? Amen. I hadn't thought about that in a long time either. Amen. There's been a lot of things taking me in the Wayback Machine the last 2 days. Miss Candy brought a bag of Bibles that were mine and my brother's and my mother's when I was, I don't know, some of it was before I was born. And I'm not exact. She has an explanation for how they ended up here. That's probably accurate. Otherwise, how in the world? I hadn't seen these Bibles in decades. And I was looking at those last night, looking at dates and everything, remembering the pictures that I was looking at as a kid. I was thinking, oh my, this is wonderful. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. Psalm chapter 40, if you would please stand. Reverence the reading of God's Word. I want to go back into this passage tonight and try to move a little further into finish the first verse and hopefully finish the second verse if the Lord will help us. And you know, Lord willing, and He allows us to preach again tomorrow night, we'll try to finish the third verse, I think. But I want to do what He wants done. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. Psalm chapter 40, verse number 1. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Let's pray together. God would help us tonight. We need His touch. We need His Spirit to empower us and to anoint us. And we ask You to help us pray along those lines. And of course, good listening helps make for good preaching. Y'all know that. So you listen well. I know you will. And it'll help us as we try to open this passage up and try to give you something from the Word of God tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we are indeed thankful and grateful for the day You've given to us, allowing us another opportunity to be back in Your house. Lord, I want to thank You for so many memories that we've been able to just, Lord, to just relish in for the past couple of days, just some different things and people that we've been able to see. And God, we appreciate where you brought us from. We thank you where we are today. Lord, we want to pray and ask you that you'll help us now as we open your word again, Lord. I say what I said last night. I am very inadequate for the task at hand. But Lord, it's out of my hands anyway. I'm participating in this. I'm thankful to be a part of it. But Lord, it's going to take your touch, your spirit, your power, your word to help us and give us what we need in these days. And I pray that you'll do that and that it'll be done for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Psalm chapter 40. We began last night looking at this, at least three verses. And we just lifted that phrase out and using that for our title, our subject matter, where David said in verse number 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. And I'm interested in that horrible pit. We tried to spend a little bit of time. If you'll allow me, just want to recap real quick what we looked at last night and jump right into tonight's material. But we looked at just to get our minds working about this horrible pit. We spent some time defining the word horrible in the pit and saw how David described it. We spent some time looking at how he described it as miry clay. And we come to the conclusion that this situation he's describing, he's looking back on it. It was a time in his life when he was in a mess. He was in a situation that was bigger than he was. He couldn't fix it. He couldn't get out of it. The more he stirred around in it, the worse it got. It was described as an horrible pit and miry clay. And we just see him reflecting back, but yet in the passage we see God delivering him. And we want to eventually, Lord helping us, get to that. But we're preaching on that subject, an horrible pit. The reason we want to look at this is because if the psalmist David is going to, under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, write about this horrible pit, he's going to take the time to describe to us this horrible pit and then tell us how God saw him through and how God delivered him, I think that is worthy for us to look at it as well, because of the times we find ourselves maybe in some horrible pit, and we can reflect back on times when God has delivered us. We can reflect back on this passage in the Scripture, how God delivered David, and we can take comfort and have hope in the fact that what God would do for David, he would do for me. So we're talking about this horrible pit last night, and I think this is important, this is very relevant, and I think we need to say it one more time. May say it again tomorrow night. The picture of the pit. What does this pit represent in your life? Now, no doubt it could represent any number of things. I thought about three in particular as I was preparing and studying, getting ready to preach this at our place a few weeks ago. I thought about how it could represent that pit of depravity for the outline, to simply say where I was when God found me, the pit of sin I was in, that he delivered me from, that he picked me up also out of, and he saved my soul and changed my life and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God he picked me up out of a pit of depravity. Thought about it could be a pit of detainment. Sometimes we fall prey to a trap or a snare that the devil would lay for us. A pitfall, a trap that the world might have set for a Christian to fall into. May I say, God is faithful to deliver us even from those times when we fall into a pit of detainment. Then I thought about this, a pit of depression. And this is me opening up to you and being honest to you, more so last night than I'm going to take the time to do now. But I know what it is to be in a pit of depression. I know what that is. I've been there. I visit there ever so often. It's just a part of my life. It is what it is. It's hereditary in my case. All that being said, I don't want my life to be defined by the pit of depression. I don't want it to have control over my life to the fact that I can't function or do what God would have me to do. And God is faithful to deliver us even in our times when we find ourselves in a pit of depression. The point I'm making is this. Those are some things the pit represents to me. But what does the pit represent to you? Whatever God has pinpointed already in your heart and mind, that the pit would represent in your life, I hope and pray you'll keep that in mind. And as we describe David getting out of this pit, God delivering him out of this pit, I hope that that will resonate in your heart where your pit is concerned, the picture of the pit. Secondly, in our text, verse number 1, we noted the patience in the pit. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. We noted the personal nature there of waiting in the pit. He said, I. It is a personal thing between an individual and God that he's going to be in the pit and he's going to wait patiently on the Lord in the pit. What other alternative does he have? It's unquestionable that he has exhausted all measures to get out of the pit himself, yet he finds himself still in the pit. What else are you going to do but wait? I mean, you can pitch a fit, you can pitch a tantrum, you can murmur and complain, point the accusing finger at God. I mean, there are other things you can do. But I'm talking about spiritual things, real things, productive things. What else can you do when you find yourself in the pit other than wait patiently on the Lord? It's a personal thing. He said, you see, the patience necessary of waiting in the pit. He said, I waited patiently. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this again. That's what took us about 45 minutes last night of the 59 minutes and change that we preached was talking about waiting patiently on the Lord. Waiting patiently. It's to wait on Him. It indicates faith. It's that quiet confidence that you just have in God. You just believe God's going to. As they just sang, you may not know how. I don't know if they didn't just sing it, but you may not know how and you may not know when, but deep in your heart, you know He'll do it again. What He's done before, how He's delivered you before, He'll do it again. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And you make up your mind, I'm going to stop resisting, I'm going to stop fighting, and I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord. Man, that's covering a lot of ground. We went some places before Psalm chapter 40. Saw this in the first time David's talked about waiting patiently on the Lord. We went to some places after Psalm chapter 40 and noted this isn't the last time that David mentioned waiting patiently on the Lord. All to say that old boy had an opportunity to practice what he preached.
That's right.
And here's what we got to last night. The preeminent name of waiting in the pit. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. For the Lord. I'm telling you, that's bigger than I can explain it. It's bigger in my heart than I can express it to you. But by the definitions, the word Lord points to His self-existence, points to the fact that He's eternal, and He doesn't rely on anyone for anything. And it's the word Jehovah. Amen. Waiting on Jehovah. Waiting on the one that said He is. The one that said I am. Waiting on the self-existent one. The independent one. The immutable one. Waiting on the infinite fullness of the divine being that is all wrapped up in the man, Christ Jesus. Waiting patiently on the one that pledged He'd fulfill all of His promises. Amen. May I say that it's all right, it's good, it's right to choose to wait patiently on the Lord because you're not waiting on a tinker toy God. You're not waiting on a hope so, maybe so God. You're waiting on the one who can and the one that promised He will. Amen. He will indeed perform what He promised. And so that is the picture of the pit and patience in the pit. Jumping right in, we go back to verse number 1. And I want to point out petition or prayer in the pit. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And here's what He said. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, not to be repetitive, but I think it's understood the indicated present position. What's David doing right now in the verse? He's reflecting back on a time when he was in the pit. He's reflecting back on the time when it was over his head. It was out of his control. That he had no say in the matter. If he could, he would, but he can't, so he can't. And there he finds himself reflecting back on such a time. But then he said in verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. So the implied previous praying, it doesn't say exactly, oh, I was in the pit and I prayed a hole in the sky. All right, it doesn't say exactly that David is praying, but I think it's heavily implied and to be understood that once he comes to the determination, I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord, that he begins to pray. He starts a praying.
Right.
Note that the word incline is past tense, implying that while he waited patiently for the Lord, which is also past tense, that he in all likelihood is praying in that pit. May I say to you tonight that praying in the pit is much more useful and much more beneficial than murmuring or complaining in the pit. Now, it's not necessarily the natural reaction, and it's not necessarily our first choice, but it's the most beneficial thing a Christian can do when they find themselves in the pit, is to just fall on their face before God and begin to pray. Preacher, that's awful elementary. Well, you know you're listening to preach. Am I right? Of course it's elementary, but it's one of the things that we put it off to last. We put it on the back burner. We try to do it ourselves. We'll ask somebody else for help before we'll ask God for help, when the whole time the solution, the deliverance that we're looking for, it's not going to be found in someone else's help. It's not going to be found in somebody else throwing us a lifeline. It's not going to be found in trying to claw my way out of this muck and mire, this pit. It's going to be found when I fall on my face before God and I start pouring my heart out to God, and God hears me when I pray. Implied previous praying, I think it's just to be understood. David got serious about this pit and he started praying about the matter. Amen. That, I don't know. I need to move along, but I don't know. I think that needs to be repeated. I just feel in my heart that needs to be said again. David got serious about the matter. And when David got serious about the matter and he determined he's going to fall on his faithful face before God and pray about the matter, it's because he's already predetermined in his heart, while I'm in the pit, I'm just going to wait patiently for the Lord and I'm going to cry out to him and just see what he does. The implied previous praying, the inclined personal perception. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Well, David, what happened? How'd that work out for you? Well, I'm glad you asked. He inclined unto me.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute. You remember who we were talking about that he was waiting on last night? That's the same one that has said he inclined unto me.
Amen. Same one.
David praying. God inclined to him. What all's involved in God inclining unto David's praying? Well, I want to show you, first of all, the posture that's involved. I just think this is interesting. A little word study again. The word inclined, Strong's Concordance. This is just a small portion of a really long definition. Once in a while, Mr. Strong gets carried away with himself, and he will spin a yarn that's way big. But I'm not going to give you all of it. Just a portion of that word inclined that he defined. It means to stretch or spread out. By implication, to bend, to bow down, to extend, to intend, lay, outstretched, cause to yield. Now I want you to think about who it is that's doing the inclining.
Amen.
This isn't David doing the inclining. David's doing the crying. David's doing the praying. It's the Lord God Almighty. It's the God of heaven, the God of all creation. It's Jehovah. Self-existent, eternal, immutable. I mean, all that God is wrapped up in Christ. This is the one who has inclined unto David. Oh, yes. This is God hearing the prayer of one of his children. This is God, as it were, bending down, hearing the prayer, stooping down, stretching out, getting closer in response to one of his children.
Amen.
He's inclining. May I say that God is not seated on His throne, and when you or I begin to cry out to Him, He's not going, "Huh? What'd you say?" It's not that He can't hear, so He's getting closer. The posture that's involved here is not for His benefit. He's not inclining unto me so that He can hear me better. He's inclining unto me for my benefit.
That's right.
This is God adjusting His posture, if you will, so that we will know that He can, that He's indicating to us that He's near and that we have His attention. Ain't it good to know when you cry out to God that you have His attention?
Amen.
Amen. What good would it be to pray to a God that is dead? What good would it be to pray to an idol? What good would it be to pray to a God of man's creation and man's imagination? May I say they are dumb to speak. They have no heart to help. They are helpless. They have no power. They can't do anything for you. But we're not praying to a God like that. We're praying to God Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible said that He inclines, He's moved, and we have His attention.
Amen.
Who am I that God would give me His attention? I'm nothing and I'm nobody. I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. But I'm His and He loves me. And when I'm in a pit and I determine in my heart I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord, He is inclined to my cry. I have His attention. I thought about this word incline, Brother Tim, this way. Incline is the opposite of recline. Recline. It's when you throw your hands back and you kick back in the recliner and prop your feet up and you're taking it easy. When one of God's children is in a pit, an horrible pit, in the miry clay, and they've exhausted all their efforts to try to get out and to try to fix it themselves, and they throw up their hands and say, "You know what I should do? You know, I should have done it to start with. I think I'm just going to wait patiently on the Lord. And while I'm waiting on Him, I'm going to trust in His Word, as we talked about last night, and I'm just going to talk to Him about it." There's something about the child of God that does that. God is not, He's not going to kick back and recline. Oh no, friend, He is inclined.
That's right.
Amen. That's for our benefit. That's for our comfort. That's for our confidence.
Right.
He inclined. Think about being on the edge of your seat, only far exaggerated. Amen.
Yeah.
I watched Brother Maurice last night. I was trying to not enjoy the jollies too much. Bless his heart, he's been on a plane for, you know, ever how many, 20 hours or something straight, and he was trying his best not to go to sleep on me last night. So he sat up on the edge of his seat, and then he leaned forward, and he was propped up nearly on the front pew, and once in a while I'd see Miss Sissy look over at him. He was working hard trying to stay with me, and I appreciate it. But just think about Brother Maurice, edge of his seat. Only this is far more exaggerated. God inclines unto you. When you wait patiently on Him and cry out to Him from your horrible pit, He gets up on the edge of it. He gets up on the edge of his seat because He's interested in what's coming from that pit. He's interested in what's coming from the heart of the one in that pit. He's interested in what that person in the pit has determined to do. I'm going to wait patiently on God, and I'm going to take it to Him. Oh, he slides up, as it were, to the edge of the seat. He inclines to that.
Amen.
Y'all listening to me now? Talking about the posture that's involved to God's inclining unto our cry. Not only the posture involved, but the perception involved. He hath inclined his ear unto me, is what it says in Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. In Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2, David associates God inclining unto him with the ear of God.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm always intrigued with the mentions of God's body parts, his hands, his finger, his eyes. In this case, his ear. He inclined his ear unto me. Simply put, David's praying and God's hearing him. Amen. Psalm chapter 34, verse number 17. The Bible said the righteous cry and the... Wait a minute. Ain't that what we're talking about? Crying? He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Ain't that what we're talking about? Crying out to God. Well, David said, Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. Wait a minute, ain't that what we're talking about too? Being delivered also out of a horrible pit? He said, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't God good?
Yes.
Ain't it good to know that God inclines to us? He perceives and he hears. He is aware. He acknowledges our prayers.
Right.
Especially when we're praying out of that pit. That horrible pit.
Right.
Then I thought about the predisposition involved. Mr. Webster, all the way back in 1828, said of this word inclined, this is good, this takes you in a little different direction. Having a leaning or tendency, disposed. God has an inclination. God is inclined unto you. God is predisposed to care for his children. He is inclined to be interested in you. He has so much invested in you. He has the blood of his dear son. Heaven gave his best, and God is invested in your life. So that when you're in a pit and you cry out to God, determined, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm just going to wait patiently on him. God is inclined your way.
Amen.
When God inclines to us, he is leaning our way.
Amen.
When God is inclined to us, he is showing us his tendency towards us. When God inclines unto us, he is demonstrating that he is predisposed your direction. Is that doing anything for anybody?
Amen.
I feel like singing, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me."
Yeah.
I don't know it, but I feel like it would help me if y'all would do that. Get in on this.
Yeah.
I'm talking about God is predisposed. He is inclined. There's something about the child of God crying out from the depths of their heart, from the depths of the pit, that God is just inclined that way. Amen. Well, I don't know. Let me move on. I'm glad to know that he inclined unto me. Then I want to show you the inferred performed plea. Man, what an outline. I tell you what. If that mattered, y'all out there, got, why? Why did he get silent right there? Is it okay to use an outline? The fact is, we know as fact that God heard him and he answered him and he performed what he was praying about. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, I'm curious to see how this part goes. I really am. I was curious to see how it went when I preached at our place. I'm curious to see how it goes here. The word, I don't think I've ever seen this word in print before. And so it's the definition for the word cry. I mean, I like to do word studies. It's not all that there is to it, but I like to do them. You find words and it gives you more to say and gives you different angles to see it and to say it. And so I looked up this word cry in Strong's Concordance, and it said, and I'm saying this word right, I'm pretty sure, it said a hallooing. Not a hallelujah-ing, a hallooing. I'm just curious, anybody familiar with that word? Anybody? All right, I feel better about it already. A hallooing? What in the world? A hallooing. It means a hallooing, a crying. Comes from a word, here it is again, meaning to halloo. To halloo for help from some trouble, to cry aloud. Okay, so I got to know. I mean, how in the world am I going to give this definition out? And I don't even know what the word means that defines the word I'm looking at, right? So you look up the word halloo. The word halloo, it means to cry out, to exclaim with a loud voice, to call by name, to encourage with shouts, to chase with shouts, to call or shout to. So when the Bible said that God inclined unto him and he heard my cry, David is acknowledging his hallooing. He's acknowledged I was crying out to him. When David cried unto the Lord, he's crying out with a loud voice for help from some trouble. In this case, the pit. Right. He's calling on one by name, crying out for help. By the definition, he just called him by name. He's not saying, help. He's saying, Lord, help. He's calling him by... Is this doing anything for anybody? Yes. He's calling him by name. He knows where his help's coming from.
Yes, right.
He knows where his help's coming from. Yes. And he knows the sender of the help by name.
Right.
He's hallooing. Yes. He's calling on him by name, crying out for help. He chased him with shouts.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He chased him with shouts. Demonstrating, in my estimation at least, there's a certain desperation involved, because he's not just walking back and forth in the pit. Lord, I pray you'll help me now. I'm in this pit. I mean, that's good. I believe the Lord can hear you praying that way. But that doesn't... Lord, I pray you'll help us now. I'm in this pit and I've tried every way I know to get out. And Lord, I can't make my way out of this pit. I'm dependent on you. I believe the Lord hears that. But there's a certain desperation that is demonstrated.
Yeah.
Help! Lord, help! Lord, I'm in this pit and I need your help! I wonder sometimes if God doesn't sit back while we're in our pit and just wonder, when are you going to get tired enough in that pit to really mean business and cry out to me? When are you going to get tired of this pit business and get down to serious business and call on me? Call on my name. Call me by name. When are you going to show me you're desperate? When are you going to show me the desperation of the situation?
Amen.
Sometimes I think God just... He can at any point.
Yeah.
He just wants to know. Wants us to show how bad you want it.
Yes, sir.
I believe that. Yes. How bad do you want me to help you?
Yes.
How much do you want me to help you? David's hallooing. David's heard. The word heard here, by the way, there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Just hearing in the sense of I heard a noise. You know, I heard a door slam. I heard a car horn. You hear it. There's a difference between that kind of hearing and the kind of hearing that is expressed here in this verse. When David said he heard me, there's a listening that's involved in this word heard, meaning to hear intelligently. It carries the implication of attention. There's that again. Attentively. To consider. Diligently. Discern. Give ear. Hear or hearken. Listen. Perceive. Regard. Understand. And witness. And this is why we cry out to God from our pit. This is why we cry out to God in our pit. This is why we cry out to God about our pit. Because He hears us. He hears us intelligently. Meaning He knows and understands what is happening in our life in that moment in the pit.
Amen.
He's... Look, you're not breaking news to Him. There's no flashing you know, thing at the bottom of the screen saying breaking news, and God pulls up his seat and says, oh my, this ought to be interesting. No, no, friend. God is interested in your life to the extent that he knows what is happening in your life. There have been times in my life and days gone by, I thought to myself, and I've said it to God, God, do you really know where I am? God, do you really know what's going on in my life? May I report to you when it's all said and done and God has proven himself faithful again, that I have to look back and acknowledge God knew where I was the whole time. God knew what I was going through the whole time. And God was aware of my situation.
Amen.
He hears intelligently. He hears attentively. He considers what we're crying about. He discerns the need of the situation. He understands even when we can't describe it and others can't discern it. He understands. Amen. Amen. I'm glad God understands.
Amen.
There's times I can't explain to you what this pit is, but I'm glad God understands.
Amen.
Amen. By the definition, God is witness to our pit. He knows what's happening. Amen. Thank God for prayer in the pit. Thank God for prayer from the pit. And thank God for prayer about the pit.
Amen.
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 We can call on him with full confidence and assurance, knowing that he hears us. Prayer, petition in the pit. Verse number 2, I want to point out preservation in the pit. There's some interesting things here. I'm excited to show it to you. I hope Brother Ledbetter hadn't already preached it. I understand he's been working his way through the Psalms. Probably hadn't left a stone unturned. Preservation. Are y'all out there?
Amen.
Preservation in the pit. Verse number 2 says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Notice the deliverer here. He brought me up. Again, who is he? He is the one that is inclined. He is the one that heard. He is the one that we're waiting on in verse number 1, right? It's the same one. It's the same Lord. It's the same Jehovah. And all that we describe that he is, he's still the same one we're talking about. He brought me up. When David says that God brought him up, he means that it was God that delivered him when he was fallen into such deep distress that he was unable to help himself. And we understand that. We know that. But I want you to notice what David did not say, to accentuate what he did say.
Yes,
David did not say, he sent me up.
Right.
God very easily from his throne in heaven could have said, get up out of there and send him up.
Right.
He didn't say that. He did not say, he helped me up. Very easily, God could have sent a servant. God could have sent an angel. Why, God himself could have leaned over that pit and extended his hand and grabbed David's hand and kind of hoisted him out and helped him out of the pit. That's not what David said. That's not how David described the help he gets from God out of this pit. What he says is, he brought me.
That's right. Yes.
The word brought implies one alongside.
That's right.
Leading.
That's right.
And guiding and assisting and companion unto.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
praise
brought me. You want to know what that means? I mean, you get it right down to brass tacks. He brought me. Well, here I am in my pit. Here I am in the pit and I've exhausted all my efforts to get out and I can't think of another thing to do to try to get out, because if I could, I'd have already done it. Good English. Here I am. I've just decided. You know what? This is what I should have done to start with, and this is what I should have been doing all along. Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know what you've got in mind. All I know is you're in control and I'm yours and I love you and you love me and you love me too much to do me wrong. And so I'm just going to wait on you and I'm going to talk to you about it. And so here I am now and I'm in my pit and I proceed to cry out to God and I'm calling him by I'm beseeching him and begging him and I'm chasing him with shouts, showing my desperation. And the Bible said, next thing you know, as it were, he didn't send me out. He didn't help me out. He brought me out. That means God got down in, put that down. God got down in the pit with me. He got down in the pit with me. And he loved on me and he said, you're right. I've been listening to what you've been saying. I do love you too much to do you wrong. I've been listening to what you're saying. You're right. I'm the only source of help you've got. So I'm here with, hey man, I'm here with you in your pit. I'm here with you in your time of struggle. I'm here with you in your time of discouragement. I'm here with you in your depravity. I'm here with you in your depression. I'm here with you in your pit. And I am going to bring you up out also. Thank you, sir. Has it dawned on you yet that you're not alone in the pit? Has it dawned on you yet that about the time you start calling on God and you be business with God, that he's coming down into the pit with you? God's not afraid of the muck. God's not afraid of the mire. God's not afraid of the pit. He's not afraid it's going to get on him. He's not afraid it's going to defile him. I'm talking about the God of heaven is so concerned about you that, as it were, he would leave his throne in heaven. He would come down to where you are in your horrible pit, in your miry clay, and he would snuggle up real close to you. He would snuggle up, I mean, just right tight by you and love on you, put his arms of compassion around you and pick you up also out. He will be with you in your pit. Amen. Yes. Amen. Don't let that do nothing for you now. Don't get tore up about that. It's just God. It's just the Lord. I'm trying to help you. I'm doing my best and God's doing his best. I mean, it's just the Lord. It's just Jehovah. It's just the self-existent God getting down in your pit with you. It's just the immutable, unchangeable God getting down in your pit with you. I'm telling you, it's all the fullness of God wrapped up in the man Christ Jesus getting down in the pit with you. Amen. Who am I? That God would get in my pit with me. Who am I that God would care enough about me and my pit that he would get down into my pit with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He brought me. He knows where I am and he's interested enough and he cares enough to get down into my pit with me. Amen. Amen. I thought about this afternoon. I'd a whole lot rather be in the pit, in the will of God, with God, than out of the pit on my own.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just let that sink in for a moment. Would you not rather? No, preacher, I don't know. We're talking about, I know what we're talking about. We're talking about a horrible pit. We're talking about miry clay. But would you not rather, saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with a hammer down, washed in the blood, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, going to heaven when you die? Would you whole lot rather be in the pit, in the will of God, if that so be the will of God for the time, and him be with you, than to be out of the pit, but you're all on your own? You see, then the deliverer, he brought me.
Yes.
Notice the direction. He brought me up, also out.
Yes, sir.
The direction that David refers to when God delivers him from this horrible pit is up and out.
Yes.
Up and out.
Amen.
When David was down, God brought him up. When David was in the pit, God brought him out.
That's right.
The direction is up and out. Up and out is better than down and out.
That's right. Amen. 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 Amen.
I know that's simple and I know that's cliche, but think about it with me for a minute. Up and out is a whole lot better than down and out.
Yep.
I'll tell you what else up and out's better than. Up and out is better than in and out.
Yes, sir.
Waiting on God, knowing that He's going to deliver us up and out,
Amen,
is a whole lot better than getting discouraged and dragging out your trap. I've been there, done that, got a gold medal in it a couple of years.
Yes,
you got the t-shirt, but I got the gold medal, I'm telling you. Been there and done that. Where you get down and out, and then you start kind of waffling in and out. You start throwing a fit, pitching a tantrum. You start pointing the accusing finger at God and wondering why He's let this happen and wondering why He's not done this and why He hadn't done it the way you thought He should. And I'm telling you, it's a whole lot better when you just get your heart and mind set on God, even in the midst of the pit, and you start thinking about up and out. That's a whole lot better than down and out, and it's a whole lot better than in and out.
Amen.
Is it doing anything for anybody? Down and out. Hey, down and out is pit talk.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Down and out's what it sounds like in the pit. Down and out. Just down and out. That's pit talk. Down and out is pit direction.
Yes, sir.
In and out is pit thinking.
Right.
Up and out is deliverance talk. Up and out is deliverance direction. Up and out is faith talk. Up and out is expectation talk. Are y'all getting this? I'm telling you, up and out is deliverance thinking. When we're down and out, our focus is in the wrong direction. And our focus is on the wrong things. When we're in and out, our faith is low and we're focusing on the wrong things. The direction out of the pit, the direction that God is going to take us when He does find us and come by where we are in the pit, and He gets in the pit with us. The direction is not further down. The direction is not further out. The direction is going to be up and out.
Amen.
So if the direction ultimately is up and out, wouldn't it do us good while we're in the pit to be thinking that way?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Thinking about up and out.
Amen.
Praying about up and out.
Amen.
Meditating on up and out.
Amen.
Even if in our mind we have to do what David's done in our text, I'm telling you, and reflect back on times when God proved Himself faithful and God brought us up out. And we have to remind ourselves, as David did, when the Bible said after Ziklag, he encouraged himself in the Lord, it would do us good. It would change, I'm telling you, it'll change your life while you're in the pit if you'll stop being down and out, stop being in and out, and start thinking up and out.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't get up and out of here. I've tried. Then you've missed everything we've said.
That's right. That's
you missed everything we've said for two nights now. It's not about trying to get up and out. We've already exhausted all of our efforts. It's about praying to God, waiting patiently on Him in faith, and the God of heaven coming by where we are, getting with us down in our pit, and leading us up and out.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
It ain't going to be like this forever.
Amen.
It ain't going to be the pit forever. It's not going to be discouragement forever. It's not going to be down forever. It's not going to be the pits forever. I'm telling you, you need to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. The direction is up and out. So look up, child of God. Look up. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe when we find ourselves in the pit, we need to adjust our focus from down and out or in and out to up and out. The direction. Notice the discerning. It's just something you need to think about. And verse number 2, He brought me up also. Also meaning, you're not the only one. You're not the only one in the pit. You're not the only one ever been in a pit. You're not the only one to ever be in this pit. In all likelihood, you're not the only one in it now. You know, I did this today. It made me feel like I'm losing my mind. That's what it made me feel like. And maybe I am. But I walked through the hallway there at Mamma Oe's. And I knew Sherry had been in the bathroom. And she was getting ready, hair and all the stuff, you know. And I still needed to comb my hair and brush my teeth. And I was being ready for church then. And I kept thinking, great day, she's going to have to come on. I mean, and I had already done, with my head down, walked by that bathroom. And I mean, she's in there. What in the world? What's the hold up? As it turns out, when I walked by, she wasn't even in there. She wasn't even in there. But I had my head down. And I wasn't looking up. I wasn't looking out. I had my head down. And I didn't even know who was where in the whole house. I walked right by him in the living room. Didn't even know who was where. Please understand. If we'll look up and out, we'll see who else is in the pit with us. You're not the only one. You're not the only one going through this. You're not the first one. You won't be the last one. This ain't the first church to ever go through whatever it is the church is going through, and this won't be the last church to go through the same thing. I'm not the first person to ever be depressed, and I won't be the last. And it's not, you're not the first person to go through your pit, and you won't be the last person to go through your pit. He brought me up also.
Amen.
There's different pits, just like there's different people. We may or may not be the only one in this particular pit at this particular time, but you're not the only one in a pit. What's the point? Why even labor this? Because if the devil, and this is one of the things he tries to do, if the devil can convince you that you're the only one, whether you are or not, if he can convince you in your mind you're the only one, then he's already, in your mind, got you boxed in, hemmed in, and isolated. And you ain't looking for help. You ain't expecting help. You're not praying for help. And there'll come a time, boxed in, all alone, isolated, separated, removed from all the world. Everybody in the church, everybody that loves you, because you're the only one and nobody knows and nobody understands. I'm the only one. I'm the only one in this pit. I'm the only one in this box. I'm the only one. Ain't nobody knows. Ain't nobody understands. Ain't nobody cares. If the devil can ever convince you that you're the only one in that pit, he's already got you defeated. He's already got you whipped. He's got you right where he wants you, isolated in your own mind.
Right. Right.
David said, he brought me up also. Amen. The discerning, just do us good to think about that also. What about the development? And I'm hurrying to a close. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Verse number 2, notice our grounding. And I don't mean like punishment, like you're grounded. When I say you're grounding, no, I'm talking about being grounded and bringing us back down to earth. Notice what he says. Set my feet upon a rock. You've experienced this. I've experienced this. When you've been in that horrible pit. I remember there was one time. One time in particular. And if you don't believe me, you can talk to my wife. Because it was hard on her too, I'm sure. There was one particular time I was in a horrible pit of depression. Worst I've ever had before and worst I've ever had since. It was awful. The thing went on for right at 2 years. And there come a point in my life when I had accepted this is just how it's going to be for the rest of my days. And then whenever I found myself not in it, I had been in this pit for so long that it felt really strange to be normal. It felt abnormal to feel normal again. I thought, where's my friend? Where's my comrade that I've toted around for 2 years now? Where is he at? It felt so strange. And then I found myself out of it. Took me a while to adjust to, you know, normal life. I didn't even realize I was in the clouds. I mean, I was free as a bird. I mean, I was so excited to be, what would you say, back? So you go from being in this pit to being so ecstatic that he brought me up also out of that we're in the clouds. You can't live in the pit really any more than you can live in the clouds. There comes a point in time when he brings us back down to earth and grounds us. There comes a point in time when you're not in the pit. He's delivered you from the pit. He's brought you up also out of. But you're not in the clouds. You're not skipping from peak to peak. It's time to get back down to earth and real life and real living and grounded. And where does God say He will ground us? He said He set my feet upon a rock. Amen. Set my feet upon a rock. That word set, to put or place. This is not our doing. This isn't me setting myself on this rock. This is God putting me or placing me, putting you or placing you on this rock. God is the one who brings, it's the Lord. It's Jehovah. It's the one we're waiting on. It's the one we're praying to. It's the one that got in the pit with us. It's the one that brought us up also out of. It is He who is in charge and dictates. He sets our feet upon this rock. Amen. He puts us there. He places us there. Psalm chapter 61, verse number 2, about this rock. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. It's as though God said, well, that's what I had in mind.
That's right.
Amen. Yep. I've had in mind the whole time, picking you up out of the pit, setting your feet on a solid rock. Yep. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's my intentions. Amen. It's as though God says, Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. That's what we're talking about. From Him cometh my salvation. That's what we're talking about. He only is my rock. Amen. And my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Amen. And then Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, that rock is Christ. Amen. Which just confirms what we saw last night. In the Lord, in Jehovah. Confirms what we saw, that all that God is, the divine fullness of the divine being, all wrapped up in the man Christ Jesus. He's the rock upon which God wants to ground our lives.
Amen.
You see our grounding, notice our goings. He established my goings. The word established, Webster's 1828, set, fixed firmly, founded, ordained, enacted, ratified, confirmed. Man, that's powerful. He established my goings. Meaning a step or going comes from the word meaning to be straight, to be level, right, happy, go forward, blessed. Man, that's a lot. We did it last night with a few definitions. Let's mash this established goings. Let's mash these two definitions together and see how David's trying to describe this. When he said he established my goings, if you'll allow, he's saying he established my foundation. I got a rock to stand on. He established my feet, my steps, the direction that I have and the direction that I'm going. Hey, I said to our church just a few weeks ago, I'm glad God gave me something to do and a place to do it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I'm glad God has established my goings. He gave me something to do and a place to do it. He established my future to be straight and go forward. There's no room for backing up. There's no room for wobbling off to one side or the other. Just keep it straight and just keep going forward. He established. Oh, what about this? This was naughty. In the 90s. But he established my feelings. I know. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. And that's right. That's exactly right. When it comes right down to it, that's how you and I are going to make it as children of God. We're going to make it by faith. But at the same time, between here and there, he establishes our goings. That is, he'll help keep us level. Something miserable about the Christian life where you're up and then you're down. And then you're up and then you're down. I'm telling you, I don't think God's necessarily in much of that. I think what God's interested in is in us just being steady. Us just being level. Us just kind of finding that groove, getting where God is and walking with Him.
Yes,
He'll establish our feelings. We'll be level. We can be happy in the things of God.
Amen.
He'll establish our function. We can be right. We'll have a desire to be right. We'll have a desire to do what's right. We'll put forth effort to do what's right. And of course, David said in Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 and 24, the steps, ain't that what we're talking about? Establishing our goings, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Right.
Amen. Establishes our goings.
Amen.
So how are we going to wrap all this up tonight? Well, I just said all that to say this, I suppose. And I couldn't say this if I hadn't said all that, right? I said all that to say this. We would do well to pray in the pit. Because God hears us and He's already inclined unto He's already disposed to hear us. He is our deliverer. He will bring us up. What's the direction? Come on now. What's the direction? We're not the only ones. There's others in the pit also. When we're delivered, when God helps us escape, as it were, that horrible pit, He's going to set us in a place where we can grow and develop further. That petition and that preservation in the pit. If you'll just remain faithful to God, you ain't going to die in the pit. You ain't going to die in the pit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have a verse of invitation as she comes to the piano and plays for us. Brother Ledbetter's going to come. Pastor's going to come and give the invitation. I just want to invite you down to the altar. I want you to come and pray if the Lord's spoken to your heart about any of these things. Praying in the pit. Maybe you want to call out to Him. Shout out to Him. He knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are. He ain't forgot about you. He knows where you are in your pit. In all honesty, He's probably just waiting to hear from you. Don't give up. Don't get in and out. Don't get down and out. Direction's up and out. You'll call on Him. He'll crawl in that pit with you. He'll crawl in there with you. It might be His will for you to stay there for a little while, but He'll crawl in that pit with you. Wouldn't you rather be in the pit with Him than to be out of the pit but be on your own?